Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin, and we're holding the final line of Lamed Vav Amid Beis towards the end of the line with the Gemara asks a kasha. Rami leira papar by Shmuel Rav Yosef. What is the kasha? Back in our Mishnah yesterday, we had that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama, and he holds a shvuya sheniftis harihi b'kedushasa afal pi shegedoyla. You have a shvuya who is a gedoyla. For instance, she was a shvuya at the age of 8, 9, 10. Gedoyla means over here more than 3 years and a day. She was unfortunately taken by Gentile captors. Baruch Hashem, eventually she was released. And now someone, Chas V'Shalom, went and was ma'anes her. So our Mishnah said, if she's a Nara Psula, the halacha is, Ein la knas loit the Tanakama. Why? Because I suspect that unfortunately someone lived with her when she was in captivity. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Shvuya is different. Shvuya sheniftis hari hikdushasa. We assume that she remains Kedoisha, in other words, that no one lived with her. Avol bishigdoy. So, bottom line is, Zok to Yehuda, when I have the Shvuya, we keep her on her chazaka unless we hear otherwise, and we assume that she is still a psula. So the bottom line, Romi lera papa bar Shmuel lera Yosef, he asks, Besavra Yehuda b'kishasa kaima, is that really true? Vatan, you'll ask you a kasha. And the Gemara proceeds to ask a kasha, not from a case of Shvuya, but from a comparable case, a case of Giyoris. And what does it say in the Braisa? Ha Giyoris in his Gaira, V'roa Sadam. You have the Giyoris that became she was originally, of course, a Goiter. She was Megaya, let's say, 9 o'clock in the morning. V'roa Sadam, says Rashi, Boy Bayoim, that same day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a few hours later. And during the preceding few hours, she had touched Truma and Taharois. Did they become Tomei or not? Rabbi Yehuda Oyma Dayeshata. Rabbi Yossi Oyma Harika Cholanoshe Mumetama Amesles Umepikida Lepikida. You'll remember we had this in the beginning of Masechtas Nida in the first Mishnah. You had Shammai Hillel and the Rabbanon. What did the Rabbanon hold over there? That all the Noshim that unfortunately have their periods are metame not only from that moment when they see blood, but it goes back even prior to that. Well, what's the problem? Why does it go back earlier? So Rashi here tells us and reminds us in Masechtas Nida, it says because we are concerned that any blood that comes out today from the lady already had come out from the uterus already perhaps 24 hours ago. And hemidu koisle beisarechem. The reason why it didn't seep out or ooze out until now is because it got stuck somewhere in the birthing canal, but it's still there within her body, and since it left the mokor, the uterus, she's already tamei. So therefore the Gemara Taka said in the beginning of Masechtas Nida that normally by all women, the metama me'eis le'eis means up to 24 hours ago, umpkidu l'pkidu. However, if you checked, if she inspected herself, if she did a bdika in less than the past 24 hours, then we don't assume that there was blood from 24 hours ago, because then she would have found it when she did her bdika. But rather, you just go back to the last bdika that she had, and from that point on, you have to be concerned that maybe she already saw blood. And therefore, if she touched something, I have to assume that it became Tomei Midraban. Not Minatoira, because we didn't see the blood. We just have this kshash. This is the Gabi, a regular lady. Now, let's go and talk about a Gioiris. A Gioiris, if we were to go back 24 hours, that means when she was not yet Jewish, no, at that point, she didn't even have the din of Tumas Nida Minatoira. A woman who is a Gentile doesn't have Minatoira, the din of Tumas Nida. Rashi says, Dam Kanaan is Kedam Behema. And therefore, nothing to worry about pre her becoming Jewish. But now that she became Jewish, at 10 o'clock in the morning, and now 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she sees Dam. Do I have to worry about that this Dam was there already from before? So if I'm concerned that the dam was there pre her becoming Jewish, that dam is not metame anyway. So that's not an issue. But what about the dam since becoming Jewish? Ah, so that's a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says dayishata. Dayishata means when we see the blood, that's when we have to be concerned. We don't have to go back retroactively. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we do have to go back. Now, although the lashon of Rabbi Yossi is, we go back amesles, b'kida l'b'kida, amesles is really an exaggeration. It's lav dafka, because if we go back 24 hours ago, she wasn't even Jewish. So you see the second toisvis going down halfway. Rabbi Yossi tik'omam b'tam amesles lav dafka amesles. He doesn't really mean me'es le'es. El kloima b'toiras me'es le'es, Metama mission is gaira. Maximum, you go back to her time of conversion. So if she converted at 10 o'clock in the morning, I have to worry about that any blood that she sees the next few hours, that already she may have had that blood in her Beis HaRechem, or may have come out from her Beis HaRechem shortly after she went to the mikveh. In other words, from the time that she became Jewish. So, Legabe that we have machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says Dayishat. Rabbi Yossi says you go back to the time that you became Jewish. Now all of that is great, but that's really in parentheses, because the kasha that the Gemara is asking is from the second part of this brisa, and the brisa continues to Tzrich Lahamten Gimel Chadoshim Div Rabbi Yehuda. After she becomes Jewish, she cannot marry immediately. You gotta wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi Matli Yoris and Osamiyad. Rabbi Yossi said, no, she can marry immediately. Now, what's this svara that you got to wait 3 months? So we've had this numerous times in Mesechtes Yevamos, as well as in our own Mesechtes Ksubas, because we're worried about being mavchen bein zera lezera. By a regular Jewish woman, we have to be concerned, is this the child of an earlier husband or of a new husband? Were she to remarry within 3 months of either a divorce or her becoming an almana because her husband passed away? In our case, it's even more crucial, because we're talking about a situation that if she was already pregnant before she became Jewish, so then she's nizra shaloi b'kedusha, even though she's moilet b'kedusha, meaning the zera that's within her of her husband or whoever she lived with, that was still Gentile zera in her womb, which was a Gentile womb when it entered and it started forming a baby. So that's nizr shalei b'kedusha. Anything, however, that she's going to become pregnant now after she became Jewish, that would be nizra b'kedusha. So we want to know, is the child that will be born in a few months from now, is this a child that was nizra b'kedusha or shalei b'kedusha? So says the Rebbe Yehuda, you got to wait 3 months to make sure that if she was pregnant, we'll be able to see it within the next 91 days. Okay, that's all very straightforward. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can allow her to marry immediately. So now, what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is a stira, Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, we said, the Gabi Yeshivuya, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Biktu Shasa Kaima, meaning that we assume that this Shivuya did not live with any Gentile during her period of captivity. And so therefore, if Chas V'Shalom, someone is ma'aneser, you have to go and pay a knas. We assume that she is tohoir and tohoira and bikdusha. Everything is great. Here we're saying legabi the case of this gioiris, that we tell her you got to wait 3 months. We don't go and say that we assume that she is bikdusha because of the fact that she became a gioiris. There's a svara that the Gemara is going to bring in another few lines, that a gioiris, since she knows that she's going to become a gioiris, in other words, people don't make decisions of becoming a gioiris snap of the fingers in 2 minutes. This is a process, as we know. Even today, any time a person wants to become a gioiris, it's usually at least a year or two or three until the process is over, till they learn about Yahadus and all of the rest. Anyway, nevertheless, I go and say, according to Yehuda, that I'm concerned that maybe she went and lived with someone pre-going to the mikveh, pre-becoming a Jewish lady. So, shouldn't I say the same thing, legabi the shvuya, that I'm concerned that maybe she lived with someone prior to her being freed on ransom? Amalei, so the Gemara answers immediately, says Rav Yosef, How can you compare two separate cases? Our case in the Mishnah is Shavuya. Shavuya was an Erlecha Yidna, a wonderful from girl. Unfortunately, she was taken into captivity. She certainly did the best she could to prevent herself, prevent the captors from living with her. Masha Enkein, a Gioris until she became a Gioris, was, after all, she was still a Gentile. And the presumption is she was not that careful, and therefore maybe someone lived with her. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you got to wait 91 days, you got to wait 3 months. Zhoktimar Amalei Gioris Shvuya Karamis. Gioris Le Menatranavsha, Shvuya Menatranavsha. So therefore, Menatranavsha means that she protects herself. Gioris Le Menatranavsha, she doesn't protect herself from living with someone she figures. What difference does it make? But Shvuya Menatranavsha, however, Shvuya will be careful. So Gemara, okay, fine. You answer the Stira Shvuya on the case of Gioris. For Rami Shvuya Shvuya, let's ask about Shvuya itself. This Anya. Ha Gioris. Vaha Shvuya. Oh, we're talking about the Shvuya. Vaha Shivcha Shenifta Nish Gairu Shenish Tachru. Yeselis Albano Yiskim Luchana Vayemechot. What's the din? Trichos Lehamten Gimel Chadosh and Divre Yehuda. A Shvuya's gotta wait 3 months. Oh, we're not talking just about a Gioris now. We're talking about a Shvuya now. You gotta wait 3 months. So now, this is a big kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, a Shavuya, you assume that she's with Cheskas Kedusha, Bekdushasa Kaima, like the Gemara quotes on the top line, Rabbi Yehuda Bekdushasa Kaima. Since we assume that she's Bekdushasa, that she is still a Psula, if someone were to be Ma'anazer, pay the 50 shkolim, like it says in our Mishnah. Because we assume, even though she was a Shavuya, that she was still Tohoira, Bikdusha, she was never Nivala. If she was never Nivala, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that this same Shavuya, Shenivdu, has got to wait 3 months? What does she have to wait 3 months for? She was never Nivala. You make up your mind. Is she Bikdusha Asakaima? That's why the Mishnah says she gets her Knas. Then you shouldn't have to wait 3 months. If I'm noivist that maybe she lived with someone and you got to wait 3 months, then why do you go and say, pay the Shkolim? Barry would always tell us, prove that you're still a psula. I have to assume the worst, that maybe chas v'shalom she was nivala. So l'chayr ha'mestira shvuya on shvuya. The kasha was so good, ishtik, that Rav Yosef didn't know what to answer. Omalei, so Rav Yosef said, midi shmi l'chabaha, maybe you have an answer. In other words, if you go back to the last line of Lamed Vav and Bet Beis, where we started off, Rami le Rapapa bar Shmuel, le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now says to Rapapa bar Shmuel, you asked a great kasha, maybe you have a teretz. Omalei hochi yom Rav Sheshes, shiru shenivala. Ah, in this case of the Braisa, that we say that you gotta wait 3 months, it's talking about that we knew there were Edom that saw that she was nivala. Meaning, if you have no Edom and nobody saw, Zokta Behuda, you assume b'kdushasa kaima, that nothing happened. She was careful, she fended off her captors, and she was able to remain b'kdushasa u'b'taharasa. However, this brayz that says you gotta wait 90 days is talking about that they saw that she was nivala, they're Edom. Pray tomorrow. If that's the case, yochem haitam Rabbi Yosi. So why would Rabbi Yosi say, mater li ores li nasim miyad? After all, if we saw that she was nivala, I gotta be concerned that she became pregnant, and I wouldn't allow her to go and get married within 90 days because I won't be able to be mavchin bein zera of the captors or bein the zera of the husband that she wants to marry. A woman that's mizana. The word mizana over here has in it a built-in negativity, which may be a little too strong, because we're talking about here a shvuya. Chas v'shalom, she's not mizana. What we mean to say is a woman that lives with a man outside the bounds of marriage, and in particular in this case where the shvuya certainly does not want to become pregnant, she's going to be careful to be mishamish b'moich. Normally the pshat of mishamish b'moich means that she's going to put in a wad of cloth or something down below, so that the zera of whoever lives with her should not go deep into her system, and this should be a contraceptive and prevent her from becoming pregnant. And that's how Rashi learns back in Masechtas Yevamos. However, Rashi over here says it's talking about post bia. If you look at the Rashi Mishemesh b'moich, it's almost halfway down the Rashi's. In other words, the reason why Rashi probably says that is a shvuya really doesn't know what's going to happen from minute to minute. After all, she's under the aegis of these wicked, evil captors that captured her for purposes of ransom. So she cannot easily go and prepare herself for the next what might eventually happen. But so if Chas Yisholem, one of the captors, went and lived with her, what she's going to do quickly is, as soon as it's all over, she's going to rush to the bathroom or wherever and take out a wad, take out toilet paper, whatever she has available to her, to try to go and make sure she doesn't become pregnant. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, I don't have to worry that Chas Yisholem, she was nivola. Even if Ra'ua she nivola, I will assume that she did whatever she can so she should not become pregnant, and therefore mutter li ores li nosei miyat. Now, that explains the case of Shvuya. But what about the cases of the Giyoidis and the Shivcha, that about all of them, Rabbi Yossi said, mater li ores li nosei miyat. So now the Gemara goes through each one of the cases. Et mishle mi Giyoidis, kim de data li igiure menatra navsha. The Giyoidis, she has been preparing for this momentous day that when she's going to become Jewish already for a while. So therefore, she is going to try to prevent any unwanted bias. And even if Chas Shalom, she does have to have a bia, she's going to have that moich with her to try to prevent her from becoming pregnant. Shavuya, similarly, namidul yoda hecha mamtula, she doesn't know what's going to happen the next step. Rashi says she's hoping that they're going to take her to Gabi Yisrael Uparkala. They're going to take her to a Jewish community and they're going to free her. But does she know that? Maybe she's going to be sold as a slave and she's going to remain with Gentiles forever. So she's hoping that she's going to be freed soon to a Jewish community. So once again, she's going to have a moich to try to draw out the zera so she shouldn't become pregnant. Shivcha nami deshamim b'pi mara. Every shivcha, you typically don't have a situation where the odoin frees her on the spur of the moment. It's a process, like everything in life, a process. What's the process? She's probably doing such a good job, or she's getting a little bit older, and so therefore the odoin says to her, you know, Sally, Nancy, you've been such a good shifcha all of these years, I finally decided we're going to go and be meshachar you. But not now, we're going to wait until after Pesach, because it's going to be busy for the next few months. Anyway, so she knows to prepare herself that the momentous day is going to happen sooner or later. So again, she has her moich to prevent a pregnancy. Since it says over here, among the three cases, a shivcha shenishtachra, doesn't have to be that the odin from his own free will decided to go and free her. It could be chas v'shalom that the odin or someone else went and punched her in the eye or in the teeth, in the mouth, and the shein or ayin came out. And we know that it is that a shivcha is yoitz of shein v'ayin. And therefore, this was totally unexpected. She didn't assume that she was going to have this shein v'ayin situation. So she didn't know to go and prepare a moich to have it handy with her. So that being the case, why would Rabbi Yossi say under those circumstances, materli oritz v'l nosei miyad? I should be concerned by every single shivcha. Maybe she's pregnant, especially those that went out l'shichrur based on shein v'ayin. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, kol meila loyomer Rabbi Yossi. You're right. Rabbi Yossi was not referring to such a case. Rabbi Yossi is referring only to a case where she knew in advance that she's about to be mishachreres, and therefore she's always walking around with an extra moich in her pocketbook, in her purse, just in case, to be on the safe side, she shouldn't become pregnant. But in this case, maybe Taka Rabbi Yossi agrees that if you have a woman, a shivcha, that became unexpectedly free because of a shein v'ayin, that's what the Gemara calls mamela. Maybe it was not something that was premeditated with all types of thought processes. This happened very, very suddenly, like a sudden car accident. Here you have a sudden shein v'ayin situation. She didn't expect it. So what's the din over here? So maybe Rabbi Yossi agrees you got to wait 90 days. In the case of Nutu and Mufuta, Rashi is not goyis Mufuta, and the Masoris Hashas takes out Mufuta, because Anusa is Mamela. A woman doesn't expect to be violated. But if she's a Mufuta, she expects the consensual relationship because she agreed to it. So the word Mufuta would seem to be inappropriate, and that's why Rashi Taka is not goyis the Mufuta, and that's why the Masoris Hashas also takes it out. Anyway, so Hari Anusa Dimamela, Anusa is just as unexpected as the Shein Va'ayin situation. V'tanya Anusa Mafutu Tzrichas Lahamtin Gimel Chadoshim. The Rebbe Yehuda says you gotta wait 3 months. Rebbe Yehuda is always consistent. Always wait 3 months. Loi Pluk. Rebbe Yosi Matli Yoris Anusa Miyad. Why would Rebbe Yosi say that you can go and marry immediately? This is a case of what the Gemara refers to as Mamela, meaning Mamela that she didn't know to prepare in advance, just like the Shein Va'ayin Shifcha didn't know that she was going to lose her tooth or her eye that day, and therefore she didn't prepare herself with a moich. The Nensa also didn't expect to be Nensa that day, so she didn't have a moich. And if that's the case, even Rabbi Yossi should agree, let's wait 90 days. Elam Rabba, on the side of Nabi Yisra Rava, or Abaya, Rabbi Yosi is Gemara doesn't say clearly whether he has dispensed with the svara of moich, or he just means to say that when a woman doesn't have a moich, she has a backup eitzah. What is her backup eitzah? That any time that she lived with someone and she does not want to become mubaris, she's going to do tumble sources. In other words, she's going to do whatever she can, a somersault, to try to go and get that zera out. She's going to dance, she's going to go up high, spread her legs, she's going to do whatever she can to try to get that zera out. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, under all of these circumstances, the case of the Shvuya, the Shivka, the Giyaris, none of them do you have to be concerned that she became a Mu'uberes, because either she had her Moich, or she went to Misapeches, and therefore she can go and marry immediately. The Idach, and what does Rabbi Yehuda say to all of that? Does he disagree? Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree that she tries to do with a moich. She tries to be misapechas. None of these eitzos are absolutely 100% effective. Even regular contraceptives, they say, are not effective 100%. And therefore, yeah, in the case of misapechas, maybe it's helpful 50%, maybe 80%. But it's not 100% effective, and therefore I'm still concerned, and that's why you gotta wait the 3 months, the 90 days between either becoming Mishachreres, or Shvuya becoming Niftis, that she became freed, or by the Giyoris that became again. Okay, Zoki Marbait. At the very tail end of the Mishnah, we had the case of someone living Chas V'Sholom with Bitoy, or Bas Bitoy, or Bas Benoy. Any one of those cases where the Torah is mechayiv a chiyuv misa, if chas v'shalom there are edim with asra, they say, Yankel, you're living with your daughter, are you nuts, are you crazy? Yes, I am. Well, you may be nuts or you may be crazy, but if you do this, chas v'shalom, you're going to get misa bidei odom, you're going to go and get tzreifa. And he says, I don't care. Now what's the din then? Edom come into Bezin and say that unfortunately he lived with his daughter and Nara Psula. He definitely gets Misa. The question is, does he also have to pay the Knas? Says HaMishnah, no. Eilush Eilen Knas. What's the reason why? Says the Mishnah, because of come lay b'derabah minay. And the Gemara brings a pasuk, Vim lo yia osain, onoish ye onesh. Now what's the raya from that pasuk, Vim lo yia osain, onoish ye onesh? That's the famous case that we had already a number of times. If you have the Torah or HaSholem, you can look at your Ois Aleph. V'chi Yinotzo Anoshim, you have two men that are fighting a terrible, terrible fist fight, and one of them goes and is giving a real muscular blow to the other one. V'chi Yinotzo Anoshim, and the other, the intended victim, was able to duck, and the blow didn't hit him, but hit a young lady. And that young lady, unfortunately, was pregnant. And now there are two possibilities. Possibility number one is that Chas V'Sholom, she is hit and she dies. Or possibility number two is that Baruch Hashem, she's okay, but unfortunately the blow was strong enough to cause her to miscarry. So the Lashon HaPasuk is, V'yotzu yiladeha v'lo yeh asayin. If there was no asayin to the woman, in other words, she continued to live, and she lost her fetus, she's got to pay money. So the Gemara learns from that. It's dafka because lo yeh asayin. However, if it wasn't asayin, she'd be parted from paying money. Why would she be parted from paying money? Because of kum lei b'drava minei. Here's where the makar is the source of kam ramine. May osam nafka. I have another pasuk which the Gemara has quoted already before. It says kedei rishase b'mispar. Learns the Gemara kedei rishase mishem risha achas atemachay mishem shtei rishiyos. You can only go and give a person one punishment. You can't go and inflict two punishments. So I already have a pasuk. What do I need to psukim for to tell you, come lay with the rabba me nay? Everything, Mara. Chodim misu mamayim, v'chodim b'malkus mamayim. One comes to tell you that if the two punishments are misa and mamayim, you only get misa. And the other one is saying, if it's malkus and mamayim, you only get malkus. We had a machlokes about this earlier in the perek, when there's both malkus and mamayim, whether it's the malkus portion or the mamayim portion. But the assumption is, we give the malchus and not the mam. Utzrich, and I need both limudim. The ashbin and misu mamim mishum the ikka ibud nishama. You know why you don't have to pay the mamim? Because the person is being executed. That's already enough of a punishment. We don't require them also to pay the petty cash, to pay the change. Ava malchus and mamim the leki ibud nishama. Malchus is taka very painful, but the person lives to see the next day, so he should have to pay mamim. Eim aloi. Maybe he should have both payments, both the malchus and the mamim. The ashminin malchus umamim mishum deloy chomer isure. You know why over there you don't have to pay the mamim? Because the isur is not so chomer. He's only getting malchus. He's not getting misa. Okay, so it's not so chomer. You don't have to pay the extra cash. Aval misa umamim de chomer isure. This is doch gefährlich. The person is being executed. It's so chomer. Eimaloy. Maybe I would say, pay the money. It's so chomer, pay the money. You have to have two punishments, both misa and mamayim. That's why you have to have both limunim to tell you that both in the case of misa and mamayim and malchus and mamayim, only one punishment and not two punishments. According to Remeir that holds loiku mishalim, we had this already a couple of days ago, Remeir respectfully disagrees with the chachamim, and they say, no, loike mishalim. This tashlumin, together with the malchus. What do I need two psukim for? The Gemara just justified the two psukim. One is misen mamayim, the other is malchus and mamayim. That in both cases, no tashlumin. But Remeir holds by loike mishalim that malchus, there is tashlumin of mamayim. So what do I need? Both psukim. Everything more chodum misu mamayim. Like we said, v'chada b'misa u'malkis. What happens if the person does something that would require him to go get both misa and malkis? Says the pasuk, k'dei rishasai, risha achas, atamachai v'shul, shnei rishiyos, only one of the two. So Kimura again, what do I need both for? The ashbin amisu mamin mishim l'chada b'gufa v'chada b'moinei lo yavdina. I would say that the din of kamen d'ramine comes to tell you that if there are two types of punishment, one is that you inflict it on the body, which is the case of misa, that the person chas v'shalom is going to die, as well as mamayim, that you have to go and pay money, I would go and say, mishum dechada beguf v'chada b'mayinu le'avdinan. The Torah says you don't have to have the two different forms of punishment. One form of punishment is enough just to the misa. Aba misa u'malkas de'ida be'ida begufe, malkas and misa and malkas are both in the body of the individual. I might think that this is like a long, drawn-out misa. What does he want me to say? Because if you hold that you do inflict both malchus and misa, obviously malchus is going to go first. You're not going to execute him and then give him malchus. That would be ridiculous. So you do the malchus, and after that you do the misa. When by the time he gets the misa, he's half dead. He's got these 39 lashes, and he's really out of it. And now we're going to go and finish it off by executing him. So I would think perhaps this is okay. Maybe kum lei b'derabba minei would not patter him from the Malkus. Rather, I would say give him an extended Misa. Malkus and Misa. So I might have thought, kamash mulan, that's why you have to have the posik by Misa and Malkus. B'yashmin Misa, Malkus, the tar to be gufi levdina. To go and give two punishments to the same frail human body, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Misa is enough. You don't have to go and hit him and lash him before. Okay, Misa is taka very, very bad, even neshama, but that's only on the guf. But what about his pocketbook? Maybe he should still go and pay nevertheless. Three chalef, I have to have both psukim to go and tell you, both by the case of Misa and Mamain, and by Misa u'malkis, in both cases, kom lei b'drabba mine. And now the Gemara brings...
I don't understand.
Yes, Barry.
I don't understand what we just did. We asked about Misa u'mama.
Correct.
According to a mayor. But we had,
not Misa u'mama according to a mayor, Malkis u'mama according to a mayor. The mayor holds that loike u'mishalim. The mayor also agrees you don't have Misu Mishalim, but he holds Loika Mishalim.
How do we answer a mayor then? I kind of lost the
Chai Rochel. Yeah, keep on going.
No, explain on the question. So I'm just outside a second. Meaning, what a pusik for, according to not to a mayor, according to the other Chachamim, either pusik for Misa Mama, either a pusik for Malkus Mama.
Correct. Fine. That's Chacham.
Okay, but the mayor says, Right. How are we answering the mayor?
We're answering the mayor is, one pasuk is exactly the same way as the Tanakama, as the Chachamim, that Misa and Mama in your part. Right? That's not a kasha. The question is, what about the second pasuk that the Tanakama uses for Malkus and Mamon?
Malkus and Mamon, right.
Says the mayor, no, Malkus and Mamon, you're chayiv. You don't say, come to Ramine. So the second pasuk used for Misa and Malkus. When if a person did one act, that would be Mechayiv, both Misa and Malkus. Says Ramei, the second pasuk says, you only do Misa, you don't do Malkus.
How could you be Mechayiv in one act, Misa and Malkus? What's an example? If you got a straw for Misa, you got a straw for Malkus? I mean, folks today, people don't talk that fast.
We're going to have a Gemara Mitzvah tomorrow on the Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to say, Sima es einoi v'har goi ba. The person is one of these heavyweight boxers, and he's about to go and give a punch to the other individual, and we know that his punches could be fatal. And he is aiming for the person's eye. So you have two Adam that are standing there, and say to him, Mister, if you're going to go and give a fatal blow to this Nebuch victim, and you're going to, number one, knock out his eye, and number two, you might even, chas v'sholom, kill him, we are telling you right now that for knocking out his eye, you're going to have to get Malkus for this terrible chabula that you're going to go and do. And number two, you're going to go and get Misa for the fact that you killed someone. And therefore, we are giving you hasra on both. And the person says, I don't care. I don't care if I get Malkus, I don't care if I get Misa. So, in the case of you have Misa and Malkus in the very same act, I might have thought you give him both. Kamash Mala, no, you only give Misa and you don't give the Malkus. Okay, the Gemara is going to dwell on cases tomorrow, Mish.
Okay, I'll wait for tomorrow, thank you.
Excellent. So getting back to our Gemara now, so we have a Machlokes between the Chachamim and Ramei. What do I do with the second Pasuk? So I use the second Pasuk to go and tell you Malkus and Mamon, or to tell you Misa and Malkus. Since we went through those psukim, the Gemara has now a number of other psukim that we have to resolve what is the purpose of that pasuk. So we continue on. We're approximately 10 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara says, it says in the pasuk, Sikhu koifel nefesh reitzeach, ashehu rosha lomus, kimois yumos. Don't take koifel nefesh reitzeach. The Gemara is assuming in the Hava Minna that means that if he is a roitzeach, and at the same time he caused monetary damage, don't pay money together with chas v'sholom killing him, kimois yumas. Oh, in other words, that's a case of kam le'v d'rabba minei. You're not mechayev both koifer and misa. Frank Timur, what do I need that pasuk for? I already have a pasuk of Anoshi Anesh. In Lo Yi, also in Anoshi Anesh, to tell you the din of Misa and Mammon that you don't pay both. And for Timur, no. You don't understand. The Amrachmana, Lo Yisishkol Mammon Aminei, Vetifterei Mikhtala. The Gemara means to say, the pasuk means to say, what happens if you have someone who killed someone, and the killer goes over to the victim's family, and he says to them, I want you to know I'm very, very sorry that I killed your child. There's no way that you're going to be able to bring this person back to life. It's true. You might get a certain satisfaction if I am killed, if I'm executed for killing your daughter. However, you might get more satisfaction if I gave you $20 million. And rumor has it that something like that happened in Chappaquiddick about 30 or 40 years ago, that a senator or someone killed a young lady, and he got free by giving them $20 million. So, says the Torah, no, don't do that. In other words, koifer doesn't just mean money, but it means like a kapara. I'm going to atone for killing by paying money. Says the pasuk, no, loisikhu koifer lenefeshritzeach, asher hu rosh alamus, ki mois yumas. No rachmanis on him. No, not even for $50 million. You go and execute the individual. Says, so therefore, not too much to come with that. I mean, this was intended to be a punishment substitute. Instead of giving me, I'll pay money. So Gemara, no. Don't allow for something like that. Zog the Gemara weiter. I have another pasuk. And again, the Gemara assumes we're talking about a similar situation. That someone went and Chas V'Shalom killed someone b'shoigeg, and therefore he has to go to the Ir Miklat, like all people that kill b'shoigeg. And in addition to that, the Torah is saying, and don't take as well money. So again, what do I need a pasuk to go and tell you not to take money? Come to Ramina, you can't go and give two punishments. If you're sending him to the Ir Miklat, that's one punishment. To go and require him to pay money as well, that's two punishments. So what do I need this pasuk for? And again, the Gemara says a similar teret. The same case that we spoke about a moment ago, but instead of the fellow going to the parent and saying, I killed your daughter, b'mezid, he said, I killed her b'shargig. And you know what's going to happen? I have to go to the Ari Miklat for the next 100 years until the Mois HaKoyin HaGodol, or until this fellow himself passes away. She says, you know what? I'll give you $20 million. You'll get much more satisfaction with $20 million than my having to stay in the Ari Miklat. Zok de pasik nei. Like tishko memeh 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 but tifter mingolos. So Frank Timara, utrei kroi lamali. Both of those psukim have the same bottom line. Don't take a money substitute instead of execution, or a money substitute instead of going into Golis to the Ari Miklat. Zok Timara, chad b'shoigi v'chad b'mezid. One is telling you the shoygi case, one is telling you a mezid case. Utrichi, the ashmin and mezid mishum de chomer isurei. The isur was so chomer that of course he, chas v'shalom, he killed someone by mezid. So we don't allow him to go and get free by paying money. Av shoygi de chomer isurei, it was a mistake, it was an accident. He didn't intend killing anybody. So I would think him alive. Maybe we would take money as a substitute. $20 million goes a long way. The Iashmin and Shoigeg Mishnah Deleke Ibn Neshama. By the case of Shoigeg, the reason why the Torah says don't take money substitute, because we're not going to kill the person that's going to the Ari Miklat, we're just banishing him into exile. But there's no Ibn Neshama. Ava Mezidik and Ibn Neshama, by Mezid, if we're going to kill the killer, what we're doing is we're killing a fellow Jew. Now, this fellow Jew is probably not a great tzaddik, he killed someone. On the other hand, maybe he was just so angry at somebody else, the other person twice gypped him in a business deal or whatever he did. Maybe the other person said Lashon Hara about him, the guy just got furious and he killed. Whatever it is. The point is, maybe the Torah has rachmanis on every Jewish neshama. Maybe he'll do tshuva, he'll become a bal tshuva, become a tzaddik. And therefore, don't take money. Amid the ikib ben neshama. Maybe there I would allow for the taking of money to be able to spare a Jewish life. Tzricha, that's why I have to have both psukim to go and tell you that both in the case of Golis and in the case of Mezid, of execution, both cases do not take money as a substitute. Please close the door, Tzviki, okay? Right, I have another pasuk. L'choyer, this pasuk also has that same message, that chas v'sholom, someone who killed someone else, the only form of punishment is kiyam adam shayfchay l'oris l'yichupa l'dam ha'shishupachba. There's no other kapara, no other atonement. Kiyam adam shayfchay, you got to execute the perpetrator. So again, the Gemara assumes that means don't take money, don't take any other substitute. You got to go and kill him. Well, we know that already. That from these psukim that we just had now, loisikhu koyful nefesh roitzeach, don't take money as a substitute for execution. You need it for a totally different purpose. This pasuk ulaoris leichupa ladamesh shupa bakim dam shoyfchay is at the end of the parasha of Egla Arufa, and what the pasuk is telling us is minayim shim nisarpa. Minayim she'im nisarpa egla v'achach nimtza hoirig minayim she'im poichin oisai. I might have thought that since we searched for the perpetrator for the last 6 months, we didn't find anybody. Instead, we did the whole egla arufa requirement. We had the people being moided to the closest city, and then they brought the egla, and then they did the arufa, they did the decapitation, etc. So I might think, maybe now if I do find the perpetrator, maybe he's potter, because we did this whole Egla Rufa ceremony. And that's telling you, you can bring as many Egla Rufas as you want. If we find the Reitzeach, you go and execute him. But then I have another pasuk. Again, the gabe, the egla rufa, the ata tevair hadoma nokim yikibecha. Make sure to go and be mevair, to go and burn out, so to speak, any tevair dama nokim yikibecha, anybody that deserves misa because he killed chas v'sholom a noki. Okay, lomali, what do I need this pasuk for? Says you might need it for another purpose. Mi boy leidik l'sani. Minay liyim l'mumsim b'sayif shehu minat tzavar. As we know, there are four different types of misa bidei bezdin, and one of them happens to be besayif, which means with the sword. Now, the sword, you can go and kill a person with a sword many different ways. For instance, go and chas v'sholom, stab him in the chest, and then stab him in the heart and in the lungs, and the person will die. How do you know that sayif, cherev, is dafka by the tzavar, by the neck? In other words, that you chas v'sholom have to decapitate a person that gets misas cheref. How do you know minatzaver? Tamaloy mitzvah nabod v'yatzad dvar adom enokim ikibecha. Hukshu kol shoyf chidom li egla rufa. This is again at the end of Parshas Egla Rufa. Malaloy minatzaver, just like the egla rufa, it's by the neck. It's by the back of the neck, but it's by the neck. Af shoyf chidom minatzaver, the same thing is chas v'sholom, a person shoyf chidom who's going to get misas sayef, it's min ha-tzaver. Maybe the way I do the sayif, the cherev misa, is exactly the same way as I do the egla rufa, meaning from the back of the neck, not from the front of the neck. And you do the kupit with a major meat cleaver, not just a chalif, which you have to check with 12 bedikas to make sure that it's totally sharp and there are no pigimais. Maybe you take a meat cleaver and you just chop off the head from the back. If you have to reach a kamoicha, bror loy misa yof. Even chas v'sholom, a person who's getting misa, nevertheless the Torah says, have rachmanis on a yid. If you have to reach a kamoicha, and don't do it from the meat cleaver in the back, but rather do the decapitation from the front. Next pasuk, kol chir mashiyachra min ha'odam lo yipada lomali. And again, the Gemara assumes that this chena mashiyachra means chas v'sholom, that the person is going to get misa. Why would I think that the word chena or yachram has to do with misa? So Rashi brings a pasuk, zoyveach lo lehim yachram, bilti l'ashem levadai. That Rashi is right before, halfway down the Amud, zoyveach lo lehim yachram. Zoyveach lo lehim yachram means a person who brings a korban lo lehim to an avodah zarah, to another god, Rachman Litzlan. What's the din? Yochram. He himself gets Misa. So I see the word Yochram or Chayrim can refer to Misa. So Gemara is assuming now, Kol Chayrim HaShiyochram in HaAdam, Lo Yipada. Oh, the same type of Kavana, like the Pasuk, Lo Yisikchu Koifer Lo Nefesh Reitzeach. that if you have someone who has been condemned to die, lo yipada, don't take money as a substitute if he is condemned to death because he did something that requires him to be executed. He should be executed. Lo yipada. So Freddy Marlomali, I already have the pasuk. Lo yisikhu koyfil nefesh reitzeyach. So you may boil the kadasan, you need it for another drasha, for a brisa. Minay li yoisli horeg vi omar echad. Erkoy olai minay shli omar klum. You have a person who is being taken to the gallows to be decapitated. Or he's being taken to the edge of a roof to be thrown down for skila. And the like. Any one of the arba misa's best. Or chas yishom is yoisli horeg through one of the governments. And what happens? Somebody else screams out in the audience, Erkoy olai! The value of that person is on me. I have to go and pay it to the Beis HaMikdash. What's in it? Minayin shlo yomaklum, how do we know this is nothing? Now there's a tremendous chiddush over here, Rabbi Isai, because as we know, there's something known as Demei olai and Erkoy olai. When you say Demei olai means the value of that individual. When you say Erech plon yolai, it doesn't have to do with subjectively whether that person is a rocket scientist or whether the guy is a homeless individual, but rather it depends on gender and age. Like it says in the Torah, all the different amounts, whether it's 15 shkalim, 30 shkalim, 50 shkalim, whether it's for a man, for a lady, a 1-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 60-year-old, whatever the all the shurim that you have in the Torah. So that being the case, when a person says, Erkoy olai, it makes no difference that this person is going to be hung in a moment. If you are talking about a situation of Demei olai, I can understand when you say, the value of that individual I'm going to pay, that person unfortunately only has at best speculative value. If he's able to somehow convince the executioners not to execute him in 2 minutes, oh, maybe he's worth $5. But certainly, Erech, he's like any other person. Find out what his age is. If he's between the age of 30 and 60, then the Torah gives a specific amount of 50 shkolim or whatever it is. And therefore, why would he be potter? Dojok tigmar. That's what this pasuk is telling you. How do you know that what he said is meaningless and you don't have to pay a dime? Shnemet said the pasuk, that anybody that unfortunately is Nechram lemisa, he's being taken to the gallows. And Rashi says that the word chedim also is a loshen hegdish, like called chedim lahashem. Right? We have a machlekes with the stam charam is lebedek abayis or the kahanim. So the word chedim is a loshen of hegdish. So putting those two together, if you want to be makdish, a person who is being unfortunately executed, about to be executed, lo yipada, you don't have to go and pay for that. Even if you're talking about Erchin and not just dumb. So that's what that pasuk is coming to tell you. Maybe if the person is in the courtroom and we see that the judges are about to pronounce judgment and to say he's being sentenced to execution, maybe already koidim gemar din, maybe the same thing applies. You don't have to pay the erich. It depends on the situation. If you made this statement, erkoi olai, after he was sentenced to die, then you don't have to pay. However, before he was sentenced, you never know. Maybe at the final moment, someone's going to rush into the courtroom, give a good alibi, give a good excuse, find somebody else that did the ritzich or something, and we'll be able to save him. So, halot of leikola. Rabbi Hanani Merakavia, di oma nerach, neisha doma fitzuvim, haikol chayimai ovid lei. Rabbi Hanani Merakavia disagrees with what we just said. And he says, Demei olai, I agree with you, lo yipada, because he has no domen. But you're not talking about Demei, you're talking about Erchin. No, Erchin, those are domen of Ketzuvim. Those are set amounts, as he's shaking the Torah. So that being the case, my overlay, what would be the din? What would Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya do with this pasuk? He holds by Erchin, since domen of Ketzuvim, you do have to pay after all, even for that person who's going to the gallows, who's going to be executed in another 10 seconds. So you mean, boy, like it is, and he needs another drasha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishev, Rabbi Yechim, break oim, el fishim etzin le mum, si bidei shamayim. Shinois the mum, in umes kaper lehen, shin emar, im koifi yushas olav. What is the Gemara referring to? The Gemara is referring to the unusual case of a shor nagoch mitmol shulshan, meaning a shor hamud. What's the din of a shor hamud? Shor nagachu mitmol shulshan, v'lo yishmerenu ba'olav, and then chas v'sholem, the shor goes and kills someone. It says in the pasuk that hashor yisokel, the gam bi'olav yumas. So on the surface, the pasuk is saying in, kill the shor, and kill the owner of the shor. But the next pasuk says right after that, im koisher yushas olav. If, however, he's going to pay koifer, he doesn't get misa. And Rashi in Chumash already explains that even though the previous pasuk says the gam ba'olav yumas, we don't mean misa mamish, but we mean that he has to go and pay koifer. What is koifer? That's already machlokes above the kamim, and we'll talk about whether or not kufr kapara, kufr mamoina, whether it's tamei mazik, tamei nizik. But that's not our concern at the moment. What is our concern is that pasuk tells you that l'choira he should have had misa b'day shemayim. It says in the pasuk the gam ba'olav yumas. Nevertheless, the Torah says you can go and give mamoin im koish yusus olav shenemer im koish yusus olav is yochel api de olam kein. I might have thought that the same thing applies to someone who's being sentenced l'misa. That there too, he deserves to get misa. He's a roitzeach. Maybe you should go and you're allowed to take koifer instead. Talmud loyimar chayim in adam lo yipade. That if he's being muhram in adam, if there is misa b'day bezdin, then you cannot take money as a substitute. Ve'ainli ela misa's chamurois. What does the Gemara mean to ask, or what does the Gemara mean to say? There are two different types of misois. There are those misois where if a person did it b'shoigeg, there is a kapara. And then there are those misois, if he did it b'shoigeg, there is no kapara. So what do you mean by that? That there are misois with a kapara, without a kapara, if you do it b'shoigeg? So Rashi explains very simply. Any misa that the Torah says that besides misa, if there are no eden v'hasra, you give kares, l'mashal, chil shabbos. Chil shabbos, if you have two eden v'hasra, the person gets skila. What happens if the person does not eden v'hasra? Then what happens? You do kares. And what happens if it's b'shoigeg? Well, whenever there's a din of kares, then b'shoigeg you bring up karban chatzos. With the exception, of course, of the two mitzvahs asay, of Dmei Pesach and Dmei Mila. But otherwise, every other Isser Kares is a din of a Karm Chattis, which is Mechaper B'Shogeg. Ah, so those are considered Mises Kalis. What are Mises Chamuris? Mises Chamuris are those Mises where the Torah doesn't Mechayiv a case of a Kares if the person did it without Ein Basra, and therefore, if the person did it B'Shogeg, there is no possible kapara, written in the Torah. There's no chattas, for instance, that he can bring for a kapara. So again, only by a misa chamura where the Torah doesn't have a backup situation by a shoygig to bring a chattas for a kapara. There the Torah says, don't pay koifer to free yourself from execution if you did it b'meizer. But misas kalish nidnah shigas in the kapara. Those misois where the Torah does give a kapara b'shogeg, such as any one of the aroyas, where if there were no eidim basra, and the Torah says it's a din of kares, choleshiyasim mikol ha'toyev v'seilu v'nichrasa. If it did a b'shogeg, you can go and bring a karbin chatos. So the minayin, how do I know that over there, since it's a misa kala, how do I know that you cannot go and pay money and get free? Tamaloimar kol chayrem. That kol comes and tell you any type of misa, misa's chamur, misa is kalas. Frey timara, flim and melem loisikhu koifer shamas mina, loitishku mamayna mineva tifterei. After all, we said in the Gemara, the 10th line from the top, loisikhu koifer lenefesh reitzeach asher hu rasha lomus kimois yumas. Don't take money for a kapara. The person needs to be executed. So we spoke about misa's chamurais, misa's kalas. What do I need noch a pasuk for the kol chayim for? Lomali, Amram Macham. It's I do need the pasuk after all. So kedai to chamina. I might have thought hani mili hecha dahor goy derech aliyah. Shaloi nitna shigigasa le kapara. Ava horga derchi rida de nitna shigasa le kapara. Eima nishkol mamoina meinei ben niftarei. Now what is this derech aliyah derech nift derech yirida business? So we already spoke about this a couple of days ago, that what happens if chas v'shalom someone kills someone b'shoigig, and it says in the pasuk vayapel olav vayomais. Vayapel olav means that as he was swinging his axe in the forest, he was swinging it in a downward motion, and instead of hitting the tree, unfortunately it slipped out of his hands and it hit Nebuch the victim. So that's a nefila b'derech yirida. On that, the Torah says you have to go to the Ari Miklat. However, if the axe slipped out of his hands in an upward motion, that's considered to be a full-fledged oinus, and you don't have to go to the Ari Miklat. Ah, so Zokti Yomar over here. When would I think that you don't go and take money? Hani milahech deharugoy derech aliyah, says Tap Rashi, leitichu koifer lifter reitzeach mezen miktala. If you have a mezen guy, and he's lifting up the knife, or the gun, or the sword in an upwards motion, and he kills the guy that way. Says the Torah, don't take kaifa. Because over there, if he did a b'shoigig, there's no kapara, he doesn't go to Ari Miklat. Since by derech yirida, had the person done a b'shoigig and not b'mezid, and it went derech yirida, then there is the kapara of the Ari Miklat. Maybe we should take the moment from him if he did it b'mezid derech yirida b'niftere. Kamash will come to say that even in that case, not only by mises chamurais and not only by mises kalois, but even by a misa which is nitna shigigase lekapara, in all cases, don't take money as a substitute. Kamash malhan. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and make sure to be continued on Sunday in the Gittishu. What time are we going to?